Hi there. Thank you so much for downloading this episode of Newscast with me, Beth Espy. We're going to hear now from the former Douglas South MHK, Paul Quine. Now, in a previous episode of Newscast, we heard from the current middle MHK, Stu Peters, about why he's bringing a motion to Tynwald in December about there being a referendum at the same time of the House of Keys general election next year, giving the public a say on the government's net zero policies. Stu Peters said the idea came from Paul Quine, and Paul Quine told me he's been really heartened by the response so far.
I'm very heartened by the response, Bev. I've had a lot of people contacting me personally. Obviously, Stu Peters going with the idea and seeking to bring a motion to December Tynwald is very encouraging, Beth. And also the fact that a couple of MHKs have also spoken to me off the record to say that they also welcome it. So there's quite a broad response and a very positive response, I think. I think people on the Manning line have been phoning up to say that they're in favour of it. So I think this is really garnering a democratic renaissance, if you like, on the island.
I'm just going to put to you, though, that Stu Peters, during his interview, said that he was the only candidate who really had this as part of his manifesto in 2021. We know, obviously, you were unsuccessful in that election, but if it was so important to you, why didn't you mention it then?
Yeah, I mean, it's the old saying, isn't it? When the facts change, your opinion changes. I think back in 2021, there was a very strong sort of impetus for the island to follow down the net zero path. We've seen across the globe, really, a lot of jurisdictions now rowing back. I think even if we look across the water to the UK, certainly Reform UK and the Conservative Party now are very much turning against the net zero agenda now that the true costs have been realised. So I think, you know, people have started to see, I mean, £40 million was set aside in the budget, which is an awful lot of money for the Isle of Man to commit on one thing in order to achieve net zero. And again, as I said before, it's an abstract. It's something that you can't measure. You know, no one can actually quantify what the current carbon footprint is because it's so small. So what we're trying to do is commit an awful lot of money to reduce something that we can't even quantify in the first place.
But we do know, though, Paul, that the climate is changing. I mean, in your day job as a pilot, you must be so aware of that sort of thing. So we know there are implications for future generations. And surely there has to be somebody at some point who says we have to try and look after these next generations.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, Beth, I just think that the climate argument is a justifiable one. There's no getting away from that. No one wants to live in a kind of, you know, dark satanic environment like we had, you know, 100 odd years ago. If you look at the north of England and the smogs and everything, that nobody wants to live in a world of polluted rivers with no aquatic life in them or anything. We all want to live in a clean, green, you know, environment. But there are ways, a managed way to attain that. And to be perfectly honest, if we look at the Isle of Man as such, I mean, the Isle of Man never adopted the Clean Air Act in 1967 when the UK updated its clean air policy because there was no requirement to. Our air was, at the time, judged to be the cleanest in the UK. In the British Isles, I should say. And therefore, there was no need for us to introduce that legislation. So now, you know, 50-odd years later, again, we seem to be committing an awful lot of money to something, as I say, which is unquantifiable, really.
And it's interesting, though, that you say there are ways to manage that, but I'd put it to you that those ways are still going to cost money. Have you got any ideas of what those ways might be then, if the net zero policy as it stands that government's taking on at the moment isn't what you think it should be?
Well, we have a perfectly good power station. You know, I mean, the burning of gas nowadays is producing very little emissions. We have a power station that's basically through the negligence of the old MEA and that and the debt that was associated with its construction, maybe, you know, not even halfway through its useful life, and cost £4,000 for every man, woman and child on the island. So to look to sort of decommission it or to reduce its usefulness, I think, is a very poor return on that money that was that the Manx taxpayer had to stump up.
Stu Peters, well known for his views on the climate, so I guess an easy target for a motion like this from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he's introduced a motion previously, which was which is torpedoed by an amendment. But I'm very pleased that Stu's seemed to pick it up. I mean, you know, the whole gist of this isn't about net zero, Beth. It's about the Manx people having a say in it, whether you're for it or against it. So, I mean, you know, I've just outlined my personal view, but you know, people have a contrary view to that, and I welcome that. So let's put that to the public. I mean, if we look at, you know, there's also an awful lot of apathy towards politics on the island. I think the last general election we had 50% turnout. The general election before that in, I think it was 2016, was something like 50.5%. So barely half of the island's public can be bothered to go out and vote. And that's a searing indictment on our democracy, I think. So in order to really to get sort of democracy back on the front foot, to get good public debates, to get interest in politics going, I think we need to look at something like this. And as I said to you earlier, it's already got people talking. So I think it's only good for our democracy in the long run.
But then surely this is what you vote for your MHK for. You vote for them to make these decisions on your behalf as a constituent. And if this does get through in December, surely it sets a precedent and we should be having a vote on every single government policy.
Well, then that would be a case for for an elected member to bring that before Timwald. And if Timwald agreed to have a referendum on whatever the case may be, then they would vote for it, just as we're going to be seeing it in December. But the thing with it is, and speaking as an ex-member of the House of Keys, an MHK's manifesto is merely a wish list. You know, there's no way that what you write or what you speak about in meetings and that can ever really be enacted unless you have a very forthright place in the government. So I think, you know, a lot of people are getting delusioned with politics on the island. And as I say, I think this is a great way of garnering interest back in the political process.
Are you going to be standing for election next year?
I would say never say never. I've spoken to a lot of people who've encouraged me to stand again. And it's something that I certainly wouldn't rule out. But I can't give a, you know, good politician's answer. Can't give a definitive answer right now.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.